From Los Angeles, California, here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which Is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, and other organizations for the purpose of improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. This seminar is entitled Fulfilling the Spiritual Promise. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about the movement.
People hear about the light and the love, you know, that is God, and they get a touch, a feeling of it. And in that moment of that oneness where you feel the at-one-ment, you sort of have the feeling that you're no longer going to be responsible or have to be responsible for the way you live life, that from that point on, it's like you're a favored child of God. But all the scriptures state to us that isn't so. It sort of says God's no respecter of persons. And that will include everybody here. And we could play the game, well, if God doesn't respect me, I won't respect God. And I don't think we're going to get too far with that, because we attempt from this microscopic point of view to attempt to manipulate the macro point of view and justify our ignorance when it doesn't take place. And yet the whole process has always been, on this planet, the process of a here and now. It has never at any time been anything other than that, except in the visions of the people who had the gift of prophecy. But they were always the outcasts of Poker Flat. They never were the ones who were down the city, you know, sitting around chanting sacred tones for the masses. They were out eating wild bees honey and rocks and Christmas trees. And that's really fine if you're going to be a prophet. But that's not popular nowadays. Now they call you kooky. Yeah, well, that's not bad. They could call you worse things, but that'll do for an indicator. And yet, that process of living here and now does not excuse us from future responsibility. And we say, how do we get into that? It's hard enough to live here and now. I haven't even been doing that. No, you've been existing. You know, living, truly living in a state of awareness. The other state is the state of sleep. That living in a state of awareness is a technical, scientific process. There are a lot of people who are walking around professing that they're awake when we know they're asleep. But there's no way that you can wake them because they want to dream. They want to continue dreaming the dream of the successes of the future, of the big thing that will happen hereafter, of what will take place if all these things work together. They usually end up in some psychiatric ward. Or even worse, they're allowed to run loose in society. And they get a harebrained scheme that if they doctor what they're doing with good vocabulary terms, that they'll have people believe them and accept their kooky fringe type of consciousness as being something that will lead them into a path of love and light. The Bible says, check the spirit. Test it. And if you don't, and somebody leads you into your own misgivings, you're the natural prey for those people. And it's just shut up and eat it. Even the most beautiful, profound, fantastic thing that you could possibly hallucinate or envision that could take place to you in that wild moment of giving it all up, be sure to check it out first. Don't give up your job, your security, or what you call security in this world, for that future down there that you think is going to take place through somebody misleading you, intentionally or not. There, you might say, but they're very sincere, and that's true. They are sincerely misguided people. And we cannot, in the wildest sense of the imagination, blame anything onto them, but blame it onto our own greed. We got too greedy. And Israel has been a great teacher because there has been over 400 cultures, it's probably closer to 700, that have historically come out of Israel. That means probably someplace inside of each one of us, we can trace our ancestry back to what we call the Holy Land. The Holy Land is still the Holy Land, but it's not spelled with an H. There is great difficulty. And if we're going to send light and pray, that area that at one time was a pinnacle of spirituality needs a tremendous uplift of energy. And if we can understand anything from the fall, of the just the historical, not talking about the religious point of view or economic or social, just the historical point of view of its existence and how it deteriorated and fell, then we'll always be able to look at the history of a proud people who got greedy and fell. And this is going to happen right here in our society unless we can counteract that process of greed that we seem to have inherited. You know, by that consciousness of sharing, of giving, of oneness, of being with people, in the sense of fellowship. Some people have come into the movement of spiritual inner awareness, and they'll find great peace. And they write me, you know, really nice letters, and often they wonder why I don't write back. Well, there are two types of peace that we can find when we're in this movement of spiritual inner awareness. One of them we find collectively, much like we talk like the magnetic light, the lower light field, and is that we have a great peace. We find a great peace. And we don't want to knock that, because for some people that's the only peace and contentment they've had in this existence. But that's different than the peace that I talk about, that I deal with. For to me, that's the peace away from God. And we're talking about that peace that is found in God, in that complete oneness, the complete compatibility, where we don't get suckered into other people's trips and greed and lust and avarice and anger and depressions, but that we can enter into it as a companion, maintaining the peace of God inside of us, and enter into their fields of work and not get caught up in it. Where we're able to walk away, and I mean walk away, that your mind and your emotions, your imagination comes with you when you go to the new venture of nowness. But we get hung up in the past. We're still worried about last week. Did I say the right thing? You know, but should I have done this? Should I have done that? It's like, well, why are you so ego-tripped? What are you doing now? It's like, what do you mean? You're going to run into that car. It's in your immediate future. You better pay attention. And our immediate future is a process of here and now. It's so easy. We can all look at it. There's nothing that takes clairvoyant insight, spirituality. It just takes the process of just looking. But it takes looking with the eyes, looking with the mind, looking with the emotions, looking with the body as a unitized process of being aware of that that is present. Now, while I was just describing that to you, there must have been a good half dozen people that let their minds go off to something else. I'm talking about right here. I'm not saying concentrate your attention upon me. I'm saying give me your attention. Because to concentrate is to completely defeat yourself. Because you get so engrossed in what I'm saying that I'll click off a level inside of you and you take off. I don't want you to take off. I want you to stay here. If you give me your concentration, you must consciously be aware, you must consciously be aware that you are giving it to me. And as soon as you go someplace else with it, now you've taken it someplace else. But how can you know that you're going to consciously give it to me? So that we can communicate, so we can feel a rapport, a fellowship, where we can walk out of here and say, something great happened to me in that seminar. And you don't even have to define what it was, or is, or will be. Just that it happened in that nowness where you just were there and you were able to give. And that giving is just a process of awareness. We all try to think, what is the esoteric, symbolic thing he's talking about? I'm not talking about anything esoteric. I'm talking about something that's very physical, like dog do. I'm just being very practical right here with you. If you can hold just that here and now form that you are, then you're open to the revelation of your own self. And that that is good or God can come down through you and out. And you think that isn't good God. But how can it possibly get through there when you're diffusing it through mental scatter and emotional upheaval and physical disturbance? It comes to you as a belch. Just a little exercise with me, okay? Take your right hand. See, just be aware of your right hand, okay? You people are new here. Don't feel hypocritical if you do it. It's just a game. And you old people here, don't feel like you know it all because it's just a game. So, while... And close your eyes. Now, while I'm talking to you, and close your eyes, just be aware of your right hand. Close it, and then open it. Don't let it touch anything else. Be aware of it. Or you can lay it like on the side of your leg if you want to or something. But while I'm talking to you, keep your attention on what I'm talking about and focus it on your hand. So while I'm talking to you about being aware here and now, now you see some of you already forgot about your hand. No. Keep your attention with your hand. And when you are succeeding, you'll feel the energy start to build in the hand. The tingling will start to take place. When it starts to take place, the energy is now flowing through you here and now. When you no longer are aware that it's flowing through your hand, it's because you left here and now. Here and now is where the healing of God presents itself. Here and now. To heal, to be in balance, you must maintain here and now. If you feel like you're going someplace in your mind, you opened your eyes, you lost the focus. Close your eyes again. Come to the here and now. You'll just use my physical body as another mechanism for your distraction, and you lose again. Now you see, as soon as I let go, your own mental scatter started, your own thought processes that you have habitually conditioned yourself into, took over. Now you start to feel the pulse, you people that have been with it, you feel the pulsing taking place in the hand. It's not just the buzzing energy, it's the pulsing. And that's the physical manifestation of the sound current. Okay, you can open your eyes. But you see, it only takes place right here and now. That's the process, a here and now. People come up to me and they ask me a question, and I answer them right exactly to the thing, and it shocks them that I know so well their question. No, it's just that other people they've been around haven't paid attention to their question. They're waiting for them to shut up so they can present something else that they're already dealing with in their mind while this person's verbalizing to them. And you lose the fellowship. You've lost the peace and the contentment that could have been found right there in that moment, just being with them. It has nothing to do with God or spirit or anything in terms of those words, but it does have to do with that in terms of here and now. In other words, you don't have to say, I can feel it, I'm spiritual. Bull roar. You're here and now, and that's how you feel it, being here. Often when we're working in our day-to-day work in our offices, and we'll have a great idea, see, and we'll write a little bit of it down, and then we stop and we think about the great idea, and we're gone, and person, we're gone in the great idea, and the great idea, and then we think, why didn't I should have written that down. You didn't write anything down except the very first part of the idea. Then comes the problem. How do I get that back? I wished I could remember all that. You already completed it in the mind. And the mind is satisfied to let it go. But you're not satisfied because you wanted to do something with that. And that do something with that is spelled G-R-E-E-D. And it's pronounced getting ahead. But I wonder if you really can get ahead when that type of action takes place. So we have to, in the moment, the flash of genius, the flash of instant awareness, be sure that we are instantly going to be here and that we are maintaining the integrity, which is being unitized, that we're going to maintain the here and now. Wouldn't it be interesting if everyone on the planet who entered into the moment of genius, of intellect, of here and now, and let this come through, if they just got it down to give to everyone, not to greed against everyone. Can you imagine what we would have here in the terms of everybody getting all the things through and just giving them out? Why, you'd have so much money in your pocket that you couldn't handle it. You'd have so many cars in your driveway you couldn't drive them. You'd have so many houses and vacation places that you couldn't stand it. And you'd have so many airplanes to go various places you couldn't fly them all. It would be a completely utopia of materialistic consciousness. You would have everything completely, and that's hell. To have it all. Yeah, and you think, I'd sure like to try it for a while. Don't set yourself up for it. Because you might get it and you think, well, but that wasn't it. But it's like you said hell, and you didn't set the geographical or time location, so it was taken on itself and presented to you in itself and by itself. And you say, but I don't want that. It's like, but you created. Till we would have so much materialistic things in this world, we would start backing off from them. One nice thing about America, and I can't speak for everybody because I know there are people who are hungry tonight, some because they're dieting, and others because they don't have any food and they haven't had any for a few days. So there'll be a lot of reasons. But taking that into consideration, we look at America, the United States, you know, as being that land of milk and honey and bread. If we just stayed with the milk and honey, we'd been okay, but the bread made us get fat. And the Bible says, man does not live by bread alone. He needs some milk and honey. He needs something else. He needs another involvement with his beingness that's so difficult to come by. The words are so easy to give to you. They're so easy to present the idea to you. They're so hard to live. And yet, what else is there? Because I'm not talking to you about anything that's impractical or weird or way out. I'm talking about your breathing in and your breathing out. I'm talking about that complete intimacy of you. That just completeness, the form that you are present. That's what we're dealing with. And we can gloss it up with all sorts of words. But we still come back down to that basic form that we're dealing with. And even that basic form, as basic as it can get, and as greedy, can be satisfied when there's enough. But friends, when will there ever be enough in the physical world? When? When will we, as a group, as a nation, say, that's enough? We've had it up to here. If everyone were going that way, out into the world, and believe me, that's all the teachings of the world have been for the last 2,000 years, for the most part, has been get it while you can get it and get out of there before they get it from you. Did you get that? It's called greed in its manifestation. But that has been the primary teaching of the planet. And it'd be nice to say, well, look how great it's worked. Look how terrible it's worked. That in this land that has got so many beautiful potentials and possibilities for everyone, there are people at the very moment right now that I speak so desperate, even for food, would think, at least, my God, we should be allowed food. And yet there are these times when people have written in newspapers about dumping great gallons of milk because it's cheaper to pour the milk than it is to transport it. They dump potatoes. They dump these things of the necessities of life. We do have a utopia called waste. We have to come back, even individually, in this great collective, and assume responsibilities from the very inside of us. Even in that moment where you say, well, I really don't care, you still got to care. Even that moment when you think, I'm killing myself to get off here, why should I care? Even at that moment, you still should care. Because it's all of us that we're dealing with. A guy by the name of Jesus Christ took 12 people, notoriously known, and converted half of a world up to today into a way, a form of thought. Well, there were more than just 12, because a lot of them walked away from him. Not too many people know about that. Everybody says, boy, if I was there and Jesus Christ said, come follow me, I'd follow him. Hindsight's 20/20 vision. You'd follow him to the nearest bar or the nearest bread wagon. What we call this process, though, you know, is the survival of the fittest. Those who survive are the ones who set up the definition. How do we know who are the fittest ones? The ones who are at the end who say it is the survival of the fittest. Only the strong ones win are the ones who set up the rules, the vocabulary definition, and enforce it. That's us. And when you die, you weren't one of the fittest. The rest of us are. And the one who ends up at the very end says, they were all no good, I am the best of them all. But what will that one have inherited except a utopia of nothing? For it's people that make this the process of life. It is us. And that process that we call us, even collectively, we the people, are only known here by the indwelling spirit of love inside of us, where we will sacrifice, where we, honest to God, really will sacrifice for a collective good higher and greater than we know that will affect millions of people. Of course, we'll sacrifice for our son or our daughter. I won't go out tonight, son. You take the car keys. You go out and raise hell. I'll stay home tonight and drink my beer and watch my TV and eat my popcorn. And maybe tomorrow I'll exercise a little. Tonight I'll just think about it. as I lift the bottle and drink it. Sure, we can sacrifice that, but in the meantime, we move our greed over to another area, and we say, well, I sacrificed that, so therefore, my basic really feels that it needs and deserves this. Yum, 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 yum. That doesn't work either. All you have to do is look in the mirror after a few of those, and you say, yep, that isn't working either. But you see, we even justify ourselves in that moment when we could truly give up of something and not take something else in. Where we can truly just give just for the sake of giving. It's like a man does right because other people say that's right. But what about the man who does right because that's the right thing to do? Who disregards everything else and says, but this is the right thing to do and I'm going to do it. The one who gives for the sake of just giving and says, it's just given, it's free. And no matter what anyone else could give you in return would be so inadequate. They could only give you 22 more Rolls Royces to go through 3,000. They could only give you one more compliment that goes with your 9 million. So what could they possibly give? Only that thing that is precious into themselves. And that is just that process of understanding, of love, where you give it out. And it isn't one of a prayer position, a own position, a postural approach. It isn't one where you have to wink or look at them across the room or wave or flag them down. It is that process that spontaneously arises inside of you as you live here and now. It spontaneously comes up, and the energy of your own beingness, of your own mind, of your own emotions, of your body, just springs forward around you. And in that moment, people receive what we call healing. Beirush Beishan.
John Rogers' closing words were Beirush Beishan, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.